Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 296 of Geek Town Radio. I'm back this week with Matt. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm all right, David. How are you doing?
I'm very, very well, thanks. Year older, but apart from that, I'm okay. As we pointed out last week, pretty much everybody that's involved in the show has had a birthday over either coming up or over the last couple of weeks. So yes, don't feel a year older, but you know. So what have you been up to the last few weeks?
Well, as you can see from my list, I've been spending quite a lot of time on Apple TV Plus.
Yes.
Because I've been watching Defending Jacob, which I finished the other day, which is a limited series. Watched Elliot Page's interview with Oprah, which came out on Friday, and Mythic Quest, which I also finished the whole run of.
Oh, wow.
Like the two special episodes and all of that. So I'm looking forward to season two. And then there's a new show called The Mosquito Coast, which is kind of like Apple trying to do a sort of Ozark Breaking Bad type of thing.
Okay.
With Justin Theroux, for those of you that watched The Leftovers, because not that many people did, but it was a great show. He was the lead character in that show. I just keep using my free year of Apple TV, which I think ends in about December or so. So I've still got it for a good few months yet. But they just keep pulling me in show after show. I liked all of these things here that I watched, some to different degrees. You know, I didn't like them all exactly the same. But yeah, they just keep making really, really great shows. There's still a few shows for me on there to kind of watch. You know, there's things like C and For All Mankind, and there's things like Dickinson and a bunch of other shows as well. They just keep making really, really great shows. So I'll go through them one by one. Defending Jacob is this show that's got Chris Evans in it. He plays this dad and is kind of a like detective. He has this son that goes to this school, and there's obviously the wife, so that's like the three of them in this family. Kid gets murdered at or near Jacob's school. Like the murder takes place in these sort of woods. Obviously the kid that was murdered went to the same school as Jacob and like was kind of sort of friends with him or like knew him. And that there's certain evidence which points to Jacob may or may not have done it. And then it becomes a case of, you know, defending Jacob. There's obviously this like conflict of interest kind of thing, because the detectives that's put on the case is Chris Evans' character. And obviously he's the dad of one of the, there's different suspects, but Jacob is kind of like the main suspect. So there's obviously like tension there as to like, okay, is he going to try and defend his son too much because it's his son and not like a different kid? It's really, really good. I enjoyed it quite a lot. Most of the way through. I thought it was a little bit long, maybe. It's only 8 episodes. They're about, say, 45 minutes to an hour each, roughly. There's a little bit of sort of slow down in the middle, and it has kind of a balancing act where it's trying to sort of, you know, obviously tell the basics of this murder case and like analyze all the evidence. But it's also got a lot of characters to develop, you know, mainly the three family characters and then some others outside of that. And then there's these sort of little like flash forward type of things as well. I won't say anything about that, because it will kind of maybe spoil a few things. So you got that kind of going on, but the flash forward kind of gives you clues as to, okay, maybe this thing did or didn't happen or whatever, like what's kind of the situation there. I watched a few different people's reviews. I watched like Chris Stuckman's review on YouTube and a few others as well. People seem to be kind of divided on the ending.
Right.
I thought the ending was good. It didn't quite do everything it possibly should have. I don't want to give too much more away than that. I thought the ending was fairly good, but then I went and watched like Chris Stuckman Cameron's review, and he kind of like changed my mind a little bit on it, but still kind of I was still kind of on the same page with it. But overall, I thought it was a great show. I think it's just going to depend on maybe what you think of the endings. That's ultimately, you know, the climax of the whole story. But production values was great. Acting is, you know, off the charts and everything. And I thought it was quite good in the end. So
good.
That was the first one. Mythic Quest, which I checked out. I know that you've spoken about it.
I love that show, yeah.
A few times as well. I started watching it, and it is very much, if you took Silicon Valley and instead of this sort of like general sort of company in that, if you took that out and put a video game company in there instead, it's very much got that sort of workspace office kind of thing and great chemistry between the characters. Because the overall kind of plot for the show is, okay, what are they going to do to Mythic Quest to, you know, make it as successful as they can? And then you've just got the characters around that are sort of bouncing off each other and making different decisions, some of which they agree and disagree with. One of the biggest standout things about the show, I think the chemistry between the cast is fantastic.
Yeah.
Between the characters and that. My favorite character, I did tweet this out when I was watching the first few episodes. I really liked Ashley Birch's Rachel, that character.
Right.
She's one of the sort of, she's like the game tester. She tries to see if like the game's got bugs and that sort of thing. And she works alongside some other different characters as well. But I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I finished it in like 3 days, which was great. I mean, it's only short. There's like, what, 11 episodes in total? Because there's two sort of specials, 11 or 12 or something.
Yeah.
And they're about half an hour each. Some of the episodes are a little bit longer. But just kept going and going with it. And just, you know, it was funny. It was energetic, interesting. I really like to see the other references they have to like other games, because they've got certain like posters and cardboard cutouts of other things. And they even reference certain other games like Red Dead Redemption, Assassin's Creed. And I really kind of connected with it, obviously, on that level quite a lot. Because I thought, oh, they're talking about this game that I've played or whatever. But no, I thought it was just fantastic. Really, really did enjoy that. That's back. Is it next week? I
think it's the 9th, isn't it? 7th. 7th it is. 7th. Okay. It'll be a Friday, whatever the Friday is, but it's the 7th of May, I think it is.
Another Friday.
Yes, of course it is. I mean, I'm a huge, huge fan of this show. The lockdown episode, really.
I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, it really heartbreaking towards the end as well, you know, there's a point where Poppy's, who is the technical lead, she's really struggling. And there's just some beautiful moments in that. It was so wonderfully done. I mean, it is all basically done through Zoom calls, but they did such a phenomenal job putting that episode together. I thought was brilliant. I mean, I think the whole show is really, really well put together. It's very, very funny. It's from the people that did Always Sunny in Philadelphia, is some of the people behind it. And it's just beautiful. It really, really funny, but has some lovely, lovely moments in it. I'm thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy that show. It's well, well worth watching.
Yeah. It's been a good kind of replacement for something like Silicon Valley or like a community. You can almost put like, I mean, Community is a bit more different and sort of meta. Obviously, it starts referencing itself towards the end of the show. But it's kind of got that feel to it as well, which I think is just great. And yeah, that quarantine episode, like from minute one to the last minute of that episode, they're kind of limited as to what they can work with. But again, I think it's that chemistry between that cast and those characters that really, really just shines through. So, because I saw the date, because it said season 2, May 7th, whatever it was. I thought, hey, I can probably catch up before that.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to when season 2 comes out. So that was great. The other thing that I watched, the Mosquito Coast, which is basically Justin Theroux plays as this character, and he's in some financial trouble. He's trying to get away to Mexico. I think he said Mexico, with their family, because the situation's gotten too much. He can't quite get enough money together, and then things kind of go from there. And my biggest criticism of the show, and Alan Sippermore also sort of tweeted about this in, I think, his review and stuff, it is a little bit slow that the first two episodes. Right. They put the first two out to begin with, which I think was a good idea, because once you finish those two episodes, you do feel like it's fully moved somewhere. Mm. Both episodes are an hour each. It does feel a little bit long in certain places, but once it gets to the point that it's trying to get to, it's really, really good. And sort of the last, it's all kind of a bit of a build up to the last 15, 20 minutes of the second episode, where something kind of big sort of happens, and then it really kind of kicks on from there. So I quite enjoyed that. Have you seen any of that at all?
I haven't, no. Interesting cast, though. Justin Theroux, actually, nephew of the guy that wrote the original book, who is a guy called Paul Theroux, apparently. Ah. I don't know whether nepotism took a part in him getting the part in that, but he's the nephew of the author, because it's a book which has been made into a film previously as well. So, you know, people may have heard of Muskie Kyoko's before. But Melissa George is in there, which people of my age will know from Home and Away, but she's been in a whole bunch of other things as well. And Ian Hart is in there as well, who's a phenomenal actor. So there's some good names in that cast list. So it might be one that I'll go and check out at some point. The person that developed it as well is Neil Cross, who's the guy that created Luther, the BBC drama, Elba drama.
Yeah, I didn't really sort of look at, I just sort of watched it. I didn't really look at any of like the credits or, or anything. So, because all I heard was it's kind of like Breaking Bad, a little bit slow, and it's got Justin Theroux in it and it's on Apple. So I thought, okay, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, other than it being a little bit slow, I thought it was very, very good. It has got that Breaking Bad Ozark kind of feel to it as well. So that was pretty good. The last thing is, Elliot Page did his interview with Oprah. She's got her own, I think it's called Conversations or something with Oprah, talking about his transgender journey and everything. I did do a podcast about this on Saturday, but I thought I should bring it up here as well. Really, really interesting and really sort of, I personally myself found it quite sort of educational, because we're all kind of aware of, you know, obviously the LGBTQ community and the struggles they go through, and obviously, you know, things like online hate and being comfortable in your own sort of body and accepting yourself for, you know, wanting to sort of feel different and that kind of thing. But one thing that really still, and I'm still thinking about the interview now, which I think is a very good thing actually as well. One thing that really sticks out to me is some of these specific things that Elliot talked about, you know, from his kind of younger age right up until recently and stuff. And some of the very specific kind of things that you wouldn't necessarily think about in terms of some of the issues that the transgender community would kind of go through. And as I said, kind of on my own podcast, I don't know if that's like a fault of myself that I hadn't thought about those issues, but that's where kind of the educational part came to me. It got me to sort of think about other issues that I may not have thought about before. And I thought that was really, really good. But yeah, it was, you know, quite emotional in certain places, very educational. And I think it's an important thing to watch as well. So that was really, really good.
Yeah, I watched this as well, because I hadn't realized it was on there until you sort of mentioned you were going to watch it later. And I thought, oh, I'll go and check that out. Very interesting to hear him talk about things like the red carpet stuff, where he was doing press for it was Inception, and how he's got a manager who he absolutely loves, and they're laying out dresses for him to go and do these red carpet things. And there's a point where he picked a dress out that he had to wear and like have him wearing heels, and he's so uncomfortable in that sort of stuff because it's not him, and talking about just being really uncomfortable looking in the mirror, and it's like, this isn't how I see me, you know, and that sort of stuff like that you don't really think about as somebody who isn't dealing with those sort of issues. It was quite sort of interesting just hearing why they've gone down the route they've gone down and how it is to live like that and know from a young age. It was really interesting, and yeah, like you say, very educational in terms of just getting inside of the understanding of it. So I'm very, very glad he did that interview. Also very happy to hear that they're shooting the next season of Umbrella Academy. They're in the middle of doing how supportive the cast have been there. That's sort of interesting as well, because of course the character that he plays, Vanya, in Umbrella Academy is a female character, and I'd be interested to know how they're handling that moving forward. I mean, Vanya's always been fairly androgynous in terms of the clothes that the character wears, so whether he's still okay playing it that way or whether they do something, because I mean it's a sort of fantasy sci-fi show anyway, so it's quite possible that you could end up having the character transitioned in some way as well. I don't know how they're going to handle that. That'll be sort of interesting coming into the new season, but I'm really happy for him that he seems to be certainly on a path that makes him a lot happier than, you know, he has been in a very, very long time, and he feels like himself, which is is the important thing. It is a really, really interesting interview, that. And just to educate yourself a bit more about a subject I knew periphery stuff, but didn't really know that much about. So it's a really interesting interview. It's well worth listening to.
Yeah, that's everything. I've been watching other things, but I thought I'd mainly throw all my Apple TV Plus stuff in. So really, really good stuff on Apple TV Plus, and there's things I haven't seen on there yet. So
yes, yeah.
That's my side of things. How about you?
Well, obviously the Line of Duty finale last night, which I enjoyed. I know it's had a mixed reaction. I think it's fair to say where they ended last night, the reaction on Twitter was not that friendly in terms of the revealed, I obviously won't say who the character was, but yeah, the long-running story of who is the fourth man or who is H. There is some conclusion to that, which is sort of the conclusion of the arc of the entire run of the series so far, you know, because that's something that's permeated every single season. So they sort of seem to manage to conclude that, and a lot of people are up in arms because they didn't like where it went. And I'm sort of the opinion that we don't know if it's going to come back for another season yet. You know, people are sort of going, oh, well, you know, how can you end it there? That's terrible. And I'm sort of more of the opinion, like, I think he's left that somewhat open, in that I'm not convinced that that is over. There is enough that he's left hanging around after that, that you could easily make another season and it will be different. But that sort of almost feels like, yes, that is kind of a resolution to one plot arc, but I think it also potentially kicks off another arc as well. So I'm sort of quite interested to see whether they do bring it back and whether it does return for another season, whether they take a bit of a break. I mean, there's usually a couple of years in between seasons anyway. I'm intrigued to see whether they do actually continue that story or not, because I think there is enough there that you could actually carry on. Had the largest audience for the BBC outside of soaps in 20 years, I think, apparently, that finale episode. So fairly well watched, I think it's fair to say. But I was okay with what they did with it.
So as somebody who hasn't seen the show yet, I have a couple of questions about sort of, okay, so some people said this is the finale, some of them haven't. There's two different sides to sort of look at that. First of all, does BBC want to do another season? Mm-hmm. Well, probably. Obviously, the ratings are very, very good.
Yeah.
The other part is the creators and the writers. I mean, I don't know anybody's like name that's even involved in the show or whatever, but surely if you get to a place where you've concluded a part of a story, but then you have other things left over, you've really got to have in your mind, okay, if we've got these other things that are left, okay, what are we doing with those? And then you make another season out of that. To me, it's less of a question of, should we make another season? Do we have a story for it? Which by what you're describing sounds like they do. But if BBC wanted to, which they probably would, and you've got more ideas for the rest of the part of the story hasn't been told, then surely the answer should just automatically be yes.
I think the thing with Line of Duty is the fact that that episode could serve as a series finale and wrap everything up, but it's a little bit of a downer place to end it if that is where they end everything. And it sort of makes me think that maybe they have got an idea for another season, which adds a bit more, I don't know, redemption to that story. The sort of conclusion to that arc, which has been running for six seasons or whatever it is now, the conclusion that they gave us for that feels a bit like it could potentially be somewhat of a fake out, and it feels like there is more that you could do with it because of where it ends. And if they do stop it there, I mean, fine, you can do that, but I would like to see another season where there is a bit more kind of redemption after that. And it's kind of difficult to talk about without giving anything away, but I think there is potentially another season in this, and I don't think that's the end. I think that's the end. I mean, it's from Jeb Mercurio, who's a fantastic writer. I mean, he's done an amazing job on the previous seasons and on this season. I mean, with the exception of how maybe he ended it, but and obviously Bodyguard was a phenomenal, phenomenal show. So he's a brilliant, brilliant writer. I kind of think that he maybe knew that this might be a bit controversial and could possibly come back with another season for it. But I don't know. It
sounds a little bit then like the show kind of needs just one more season to completely finish what was left.
The thing is, the way he's written it is it does sort of round everything off, but there is enough. it is kind of rounded off and ended, but it ends on in somewhat of a down place. And you kind of think, yeah, I mean, he could just decide, no, I'm going to end it there. But there is a possibility that there are bits of the story you could pick up and move on and maybe end on in a kind of slightly happier place. And I think it would be doable. And I don't know. I don't know what he's got in his mind. I don't know whether he has decided that's it or whether he is going to come back again. But I certainly think it would be possible.
It reminds me a lot of how 24, quote unquote, finished, actually. Now, as you're kind of going through and describing sort of a lot of things were wrapped up, but there was this one thing that, like, okay, you don't have to address that, but you probably should. Just because there's like an indication of what the ending is. And I get that if you want to have people guessing a little bit more at your ending and there's a somewhat obvious answer, but not completely clear answer, it was just making me think a lot about, well, the last time we saw 24, basically, and how that kind of finished off.
Yeah, just the way he ends it and the character reveal and stuff makes me think that they possibly have got more ideas. You know, Jed Mercurio has more ideas for what he could do. I'll be interested to see whether they do announce another season for that. Mm-hmm. But certainly, Line of Duty is a phenomenal, phenomenal piece of work. And hopefully we'll see another season of it, but we'll have to wait and see what they announce. In terms of other stuff, Shadow and Bone, I finished the entire season of that. I talked quite a bit about that last week, having watched the first couple of episodes, but really enjoyed that series. It's an interesting world that they've set up. I mean, it's based on these Grishaverse novels, got a lot of sort of steampunky kind of magic stuff going on. Ends that in a kind of interesting place as well. I'm not going to go back over what the story is because it's very dense, that story, and there are a lot of things going on. You've got two or three plot lines kind of weaved together. In terms of structure, there's a little bit of the sort of Game of Thrones thing going on of like, okay, you've got a bunch of people over here doing one thing, you've got a bunch of people over here doing something else. Uh-huh. Eventually they come together. I really like where they went with that story and how they ended up crafting and pulling those people together. There's kind of an interesting twist in it as well. And I've not read any of the books. I know people love the books. So I'm hoping that I mean, it's Netflix, so you never know, but I'm hoping that got enough of an audience to bring back for another season, because the 8 episodes that have gone out, I thought were really, really solid. And it does end it in a place, because it's following the books, it ends it in a place which can kind of carry on. So I'd be interested to see more of that moving forward. But I really enjoyed that first season. If you like those sort of fantasy dramas, it is well, well worth watching that one. I really enjoyed it, because they can be very up and down. There's quite a lot of those sort of teen fantasy drama things around. But Shadow and Bone, I think is definitely one that's worth watching. In terms of other things, Rookie came back, solid start. The first episode feels very much like it sort of is the one that was left over from the finale of, you know, that should have been the finale of last season. Right. It's a good, solid conclusion to that. And next week should sort of start off the new plot line. I'm not sure whether it was an episode that was left over. I can't remember whether they got shut down by the pandemic or not. But it's the conclusion to the arc that was running in the previous season. So it's a good opening episode. And I mean, I love Nathan Fillion. I really like that show. And we'll see sort of where it goes on from there. And Invincible, of course, finished this week, which you and me did a podcast on it. Mm-hmm. Just the phenomenal finale on that show. I mean, it's one of the best superhero shows around at the moment. I really do think that. I mean, despite it being an animated, not live action series, I think they did a superb job with it. And that finale is brutal in places. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not something that kids should be watching. Most definitely might be an animated superhero series, but do not let your children watch it. It's really, really violent. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, I brought up a debate between the two of us about, do we think The Boys or Invincible is more violent? So put that into sort of context for that, I suppose.
Out of the two of them, yes, The Boys is more visceral because it's live action, but The Invincible, I think overall, I mean, if you did Invincible in live action, it would be the more violent show. It's just, it gets away with it because it's in animation, but it is, I mean, it's vicious, that finale, and it's a superbly written story, just been renewed for 2 more seasons. So I'm really interested to see where they go with that. And the other big news this week, which I think we kind of have to talk about, Noel Clarke, who people will know from the TV show Bulletproof, and of course, Doctor Who, and Viewpoint, the ITV drama, which was running, had a bunch of accusations made towards him from various female actors and staff that he'd worked with. there was a whole string of accusations from 20 different people that came out in a report in The Guardian. He's obviously, they're all alleged. I mean, he's denying all of them, or all but one of them, I think. I mean, it's one of those things that I would always like to say innocent until proven guilty. But when 20 people come forward and you read through the Guardian article, it is incredibly well researched and seems very well backed up. And it was then followed up by not only him getting kicked off the board of his own company, he had his BAFTA status removed, he had his BAFTA award taken off him. ITV pulled the final episode of Viewpoint off the live broadcast, although they did leave it on the hub, which I think was sort of the best compromise they could come up with so people could watch the final episode if they wanted to. Bulletproof season 4, which had been commissioned, has now been put on hold indefinitely. And also, the moment this news came out, there were a lot of other fairly high profile people like Michaela Cole in the industry that were kind of saying along the lines of, well, yeah, this does ring true from my experience. So yes, these are all alleged things, but it really, really does not look good for him.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's important that those people, you know, are listened to, and whenever they do go back to work on, whether it's a TV or film or any kind of workplace, or even, you know, any sort of place at all, that they feel comfortable and able to work in those sorts of places, or just, you know, feel comfortable sort of in general, I think is very important. He did say himself about, like, he doesn't quite sort of think what he did was serious, but he knows he needs sort of education, which I think clearly he does kind of need to be educated on these issues and things. I think the general statement that he himself put out was a little bit odd and sort of confusing, or almost sort of saying like, hey, I kind of know what I did was kind of bad, but I didn't think it was as bad as what I did, but I still need to be educated. It was like, okay, you're kind of half admitting that you need help, but you're sort of not quite fully acknowledging that what you did was as bad as what it actually is, which is a bit strange, because it's not like he's sort of young or new to this industry, or to, you know, whatever. Like, he's been doing this a long, long time, and he should know the standards of which he should have to go by in terms of making people feel comfortable in the workplace, or just, you know, being a nice person. He should kind of know, you know, he's an adult, he should know what he's doing and what's sort of right and wrong. So at the end of the day, I hope that, you know, the appropriate punishment is given to him. Obviously, a bunch of things have happened so far, like the episodes getting pulled and the other things you just sort of mentioned. I do hope that the victims are able to get whatever they sort of need to out of the situation, and again, just be able to feel comfortable the next time they go to work on any sort of set, because they should be able to, you know, make the entertainment that they do and not feel that they are in any sort of dangerous situation. So that's kind of my thoughts on it, but I just thought that in general his statement was just a bit strange.
Yes, so. Do you agree with all of that? Absolutely. We don't know what the resolution of this is going to be. I believe one of the cases at least has been referred to the police, so we'll see what the outcome of that is. But the response from the industry was they seem to be taking it extremely seriously, which is a good thing to see. We'll see what the outcome is of this, but I don't see how he comes back from this. It's incredibly disappointing to see somebody who he should know better, you know. And the fact is, if it had been one or two people, you can go, okay, you know, some people had a bad experience, but 20, that's
when it's that sort of overwhelming number, you think, okay, there's clearly a longer term issue.
Yeah, I mean, well, I do like to say, I would like to say innocent until proven guilty, but I mean, that's either a massive conspiracy against him, or there is something there if you've got overwhelming numbers like that, I would say. But so we'll see where it comes out, but I would expect not to hear from Noel Clark for a while.
what's the other guy's name? His on-screen partner?
Oh, his on-screen partner in you mean in Bulletproof?
Yeah. Ooh. The other guy he works with.
Ashley Walters has actually come out and made a statement basically saying, you know, these women need to be listened to, you know, talking about the fact Noel has been a colleague and a friend for a number of years, but this behaviour is not appropriate, and I will strive to make working environments as safe as possible. I mean, so we don't know what's going to happen with Bulletproof. It has been put on hold indefinitely at the moment. Whether they do something to bring that back at some point without Noel Clark, possibly, whether Ashley Walters can continue with somebody else, we don't know. We'll have to wait and see, because it had been picked up for a full season, but obviously that won't be happening for now. So that's all the stuff we've been doing this week. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
Bye.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So we kick off the TV and film news with the renewals, cancellations and pickups. First cancellation, The Duchess, which was the Catherine Ryan series on Netflix, has been canned after one season. I didn't see any of that. I quite like Catherine Ryan. This was her sort of sitcom thing, and that apparently didn't find an audience, so that's not coming back. Bulletproof, as we mentioned, is on hold indefinitely for the fourth season, so that won't be returning for now, if ever. And The Last Kingdom, which is also on Netflix, that is going to be ending after its fifth season, which is, it's not a show that I've watched. It's one that I keep on meaning to kind of get into because it's similar to the show Vikings, but sort of from a slightly different perspective. Okay. It's more on the English side, I think, than the Viking side is my understanding of it. Like I say, I haven't seen it. What's slightly annoying is it's based on a series of books, and I think there are 12 or 13 books in the series, and the TV show goes up to, I think, book 10. So they're ending it slightly earlier than the book series, which is mildly irritating because the book series isn't an ongoing series. It has ended at that final book. So you kind of think they could have given it one more season after this and maybe kind of finished the last few books, but no. Hopefully they found a reasonable place to end it at, but that is
maybe,
ending its first
maybe
season.
You can reach that end point in like a different way or something.
Yeah,
I don't
maybe.
Know.
But hopefully it rounds it off in a nice enough way. We'll have to wait and see. In terms of renewals, few renewals from the US. The Young Rock, which is the Dwayne Johnson series, has been renewed for a second season. Didn't quite get maybe the numbers that NBC were hoping for, but let's be honest, are you going to be the exec that has to go to Dwayne Johnson and say you're not getting a second season? So that has been renewed for a second season. And still not made it over here yet, that, but hopefully it will do at some point. And also on NBC, Kenan Thompson's sitcoms Kenan has been renewed for a second season. And Invincible, as I mentioned earlier, that's been renewed for seasons 2 and 3, which I'm very, very happy about. So that will be back. Mm-hmm. We are, of course, heading, as I think I mentioned last week, into the renewals and cancellations period for the US networks. This usually results in a sort of Friday night bloodbath, which I think will probably be the 14th of May at the latest this year, given when all the upfronts are. Well, the upfronts are when all the networks come in and say, these are all the shows we're bringing back for the next year. So most of the renewals for existing shows will have come in by the 14th of May, and most of the cancellations should be in by then. So I did a post up on the website which runs through all the things that have yet to be renewed and cancelled, just sort of gives you some idea of what shows might be coming back and might be in trouble. Over on ABC, Big Sky, obviously, I think is perfectly safe. Good Doctor should be fine. Blackish should be okay. Grey's Anatomy, Station 19. They are currently in negotiations for new seasons of that. We don't know what the situations are with those negotiations, but whatever happens, they're going to bring them back for at least one more season. It depends what happens with the cast negotiations, but there is no way they're likely to can Grey's Anatomy without giving it some closure. So they're safe. They are going to come back. Maybe a multi-season renewal. It may not be. We'll have to wait and see with that, but they will be coming back. I'm pretty positive. Rebel, which is the new Katie Siegel series, numbers aren't maybe as good as maybe they'd like, but seems likely that will come back. The Goldbergs, again, numbers are pretty good for that, but it is 8 seasons in, so could potentially go either way. The Rookie, which we mentioned earlier, that is sort of a 50-50, maybe slightly higher than that. We think it's probably going to come back, but we're not 100% sure. That could be in a slightly dangerous situation, but I think on balance it's probably going to get renewed. Mixed-ish, which is the Blackish spin-off, really hasn't found an audience, and I mean, its connection to Blackish might save it for another season, but its numbers are not great. American Housewife, which I think ran on either Dave or one of W or one of the channels over here ran that, that looks like it's not doing particularly well. And For Life, which ran on Sky Witness, I think, over here, the Nicholas Pinnock series about the guy who was a prison lawyer. That has seen a big drop in numbers for its second season, unfortunately, and it was kind of 50-50 last year and got renewed, so I'm not sure whether that's going to end up getting a third season or not. Moving on to CBS, they've already given renewals to a whole bunch of things, so Bluebirds, Bull, NCIS, NCIS New Orleans, Magnum, SWAT, Equalizer, FBI, FBI Most Wanted, Young Sheldon, they're all being renewed. NCIS New Orleans and MacGyver are both already being cancelled, and the sitcom Mum, which did air over here but then stopped airing over here, that's not continuing after eight seasons. They've brought that to an end. There are a few comedies, which none of which have made it over here, called United States of Al, Be Positive, and The Unicorn, which all look like they're going to be renewed. All Rise, which is a legal series which still hasn't made it over here, that looks like it's going to be okay to come back. SEAL Team has me a little concerned. The general consensus is it will probably come back for at least another season, but there have been a lot of posts by David Baranis and other people involved on the show that make me do wonder how safe that is, because there are a lot of people involved on the show calling for the renewal of that, and they still haven't had a renewal yet. So there may be negotiations going on behind the scenes. The general consensus from a lot of the sites seem to be that that will come back, but its numbers aren't brilliant, and I suspect it's quite an expensive show to produce, given that, you know, it involves helicopters and quite a lot of location shooting. So they could be trying to just figure out how they can do that a bit more cheaply for the next season. That may be what's holding it up, but hopefully SEAL Team will come back, because I do really, really like that show. The one that is really struggling on CBS is Clarice, which is the Hannibal Lecter drama without Hannibal Lecter in it, which always seemed like quite a bad idea, but it's follows Clarice Starling post her first experience with Hannibal Lecter. So it's set sort of after Silence of the Lambs, but doesn't have Hannibal Lecter in it anywhere. The one saving grace possibly for this is the person behind it is Alex Kurtzman, who is the person behind all the Star Trek shows. And it may be that they want to keep him sweet and decide to renew it based on that. But based on its numbers, it's a brand new show. It's at the bottom of their ratings. I don't necessarily, unless they decide that Alex Kurtzman is worth keeping happy, I can't see that getting renewed. But we'll have to wait and see for that. Again, that's not one that's landed over here. NBC have already handed out huge renewals to the Chicago franchise. That got a three-season renewal. Law and Order SVU got a three-season renewal. New Amsterdam got a three-season renewal back in last year, so they're all coming back. This Is Us has also got a three-season renewal back in 2019, so that's coming back. Blacklist got renewed in January for another season, so that's back. There is a sitcom called Mr. Mayor that got renewed in March. That's coming back. And then we already know Brooklyn Nine-Nine has got one more season. Superstore, of course, ended this year as well. New Rock and Keenan, they renewed just this week, so they're both coming back. In terms of the other shows, Law and Order Organized Crime, which is the new Law and Order spinoff, it looks like that is probably going to come back. Manifest, which is the wonderfully bonkers plane disappearing and arriving 5 years later show, I really like that show. It's great fun. That is kind of sitting mid-table, but it was sort of in that position last year and they renewed it, so I think it's probably okay, but its numbers aren't great, and it has seen the numbers drop again for this season, but that generally happens as shows go on. So hopefully it'll get picked up again, but that is possibly in a sort of, you know, 50-50, maybe slightly above 50-50 space. Shows to be concerned about: Debris, which was the new sci-fi from J.H. Wyman, who created Almost Human, who was a writer on Fringe. It seems to be really slow, that show, and it's not managed to get enough interest in it, really. So it may get picked up, but it's in a really dodgy area. Two bad times for Matt, though. Good Girls apparently is really not doing well on NBC, although its saving grace is it does do very well on streaming services. And it's an NBC show, and I think they actually are involved in making it, so it means that they would make money out of it going onto streaming services. So that may save it for another season, but that's not in a great place. And the other thing which is really struggling is Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, which I'm gutted about, because I love that show. It's really struggled with its audience for a second season. It took the lower end of the ratings for it.
I'm curious if that's when they moved it to Sunday. Mm. We need to have less American TV on Sunday, because there is a lot of it on Sundays. You've got usually like the big HBO drama, you've got like one of the Walking Dead shows, and you've got just a dozen other things. Because I think when it started this season, it was on a Tuesday, which sounds like a better day for it.
Yeah.
But
the one saving grace it does have is it's kind of similar to The Good Place in terms of tone. And NBC kept The Good Place around due to a lot of the critical and sort of fan love of it. It's possible that that may save it. If they can find a way to maybe reduce the cost a bit, that may keep it on air, just because it's a smaller audience, but it is quite a passionate audience for that show. So, yeah. Which was a similar situation with The Good Place, and they kept that around for numerous seasons. So it's different and interesting, and that may be something that NBC look to rather than just the numbers. You know, if you base it purely on ratings, yes, it probably should be cancelled, but there are other factors that go into that, and it may be that that keeps it on air, we can hope.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to wait and see what happens with that, but I know a lot of people are quite worried about that show when it comes to looking at a lot of the lists of sort of where people things are sitting. Zoe's is one that is in a very tenuous position right now.
I wonder with both with Good Girls and with Zoe, I remember saying with, I think it was the third season, that like they've probably only got one or two more left. I could see maybe hopefully if they do like a fifth and final season. I mean, obviously I don't know what's going on in this season plot wise yet, because it hasn't come over here.
Yeah.
And Zoe kind of has that Good Place thing as well with, okay, it's got a great idea, but you can't really make like 8 or 10 seasons out of that. Whereas you could make like 4 or 5, like a shorter amount of seasons. So if they maybe did it as like a third and final season with Zoe or something,
yeah,
we'll see. But there aren't like, you know, some of those procedurals where you can have them on for like 10 years.
Yeah.
It's just got a very specific plot. As good as those two sort of plot ideas are, there's only so long you can actually kind of do that. So that's kind of what The Good Place did. It only stuck around for like 4 seasons, but it told its story in that time. So.
Yeah, I do hope that they renew it and round it off in some way, if that is the case. But we'll have to wait and see for that. But that is a worry. Over on Fox, the animated shows are doing really well on Fox. So Bob's Burgers, Family Guy, Great North, Duncanville and Simpsons all got new seasons. So they're all coming back. Live action shows did less well. Filthy Rich, which was a live action drama about a Southern preacher thing, that got hatcheted after one season. Next, which is the sci-fi drama, which I'm quite enjoying. It's running on Disney Star over here, but that got canned after one season, although I'm told that rounds off the story reasonably well. Bless the Hearts, which was a comedy as well, also got canned. LA's Finest, which technically was a transplant from Spectrum Originals Network, but that got canned after 2 seasons. And Tim Allen's Last Man Standing is coming to an end this year as well. So a lot of the live action stuff has gone. In terms of the things that are left over, 911, 911 Lone Star, both I think are very, very safe for returning. They seem to be quite big shows for Fox, so I think they're both okay. The Resident likely to be okay as well on Fox. One thing that sort of seems to be in the middle of the table, Call Me Cat, which is the US comedy that was based on the British sitcom Miranda, stars Mayim Bialik in the lead role as the sort of Miranda character, who's called Cat, obviously, in that version. That really doesn't seem to have found as many ratings as it maybe should have done. It's kind of sat mid-table, although Fox has invested quite a lot of money in getting that up and running and, you know, buying the rights in and all that sort of stuff. So that may inspire them to bring it back, but it's really not doing as well as you would have expected. So that could go either way. Shows to be concerned about on Fox: Prodigal Son. Strong launch last year, seems to have taken a bit of a nosedive in its second season. It's currently one of the lowest rated dramas on the network. That doesn't bode particularly well for them bringing it back again. So we'll have to see with that, but I think Prodigal Son could be in trouble. There was another drama comedy called The Moodies, which starred Dennis Leary, not actually technically cancelled, but Fox pulled it off air with 3 episodes left, which they then bumped to June. So that is not coming back. Technically not cancelled, but it is not coming back, that one. So out of the things that air over here, Prodigal Son would be the thing I would be a bit concerned about. That's coming back to the UK fairly soon for its second season. And then, of course, the fluffiest network of the US networks, the CW, which pretty much renewed absolutely everything. All the Arrowverse shows have been renewed, apart from we know Supergirl is ending and we know Black Lightning is coming to an end, but they've all been ended by the production company rather than CW. So everything else has pretty much been renewed, including Superman and Lois. We know that's back for a new season. Out of the other shows, The Outpost, technically not renewed for another season, but they did give it 13 more episodes to its third season. So it's on a mid-season break at the moment, but that's got more episodes coming for that. Yeah. Stargirl hasn't returned for its second season yet. that comes back in August in the US, so that hasn't been renewed for another season because the second season hasn't gone out yet. And there is a new show called The Republic of Sarah, which doesn't begin airing until June, so that hasn't got a renewal yet. But I think it's the CW, so I think Stargirl and Republic of Sarah, unless anything drastically goes wrong, they're all likely to come back. The only thing that's actually on air at the moment that hasn't been renewed yet is Kung Fu, which hasn't aired over here yet, but that's the remake of the old TV show. That's been doing phenomenally well, so there is no way that's going to get cancelled. That will be back for a second season. It's one of the highest rated shows on the network, so that is definitely going to be returning. I can't see CW ever cancelling that. That's pretty much the main stuff off the main networks, where things sit. So in terms of things that are airing over here, the ones I'd be worried about: Prodigal Son, Good Girls, Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, possibly SEAL Team, possibly The Rookie, and For Life would be the ones that I would be most concerned about, I think.
Yeah, it's just the three for me there: Prodigal Son, Zoe, and Good Girls. So.
Yeah. I mean, I don't watch that many procedurals, but yeah, SEAL Team and The Rookie are two of my favourite ones. So I would be sad if they don't make it, but hopefully they do. Well, as I say, we should know by the 14th of May, we should have some idea of everything that's been cancelled and everything that's been renewed. And then the couple of weeks following that, we will get all the announcements of which new shows they've picked up and all that sort of stuff. So there'll be a bunch of news sort of mid-May regarding all that stuff. In terms of the UK, though, and pickups, Sky have announced all their Arrowverse shows are returning in June 2021. So that's Flash, Supergirl, and Legends. Still no news on Superman and Lois at the moment, either way. So Sky haven't picked it up yet, as far as we're aware. That doesn't seem to be the case. I think they would have said had they picked it up by now. Whether that means they're in negotiations for it, I don't know. But at the moment, are saying there's no news on it. So that would say to me that they haven't signed a deal, even if they are working on one, or it could go somewhere else. We don't know. So
it's a bit weird that for such a big character like Superman that nobody's swooped it up.
Yeah, but then you are having to deal with the sales team at Warner Brothers, and they appear to be horrifically difficult to deal with. So I hope that they get it, because of course they're losing Supergirl this year. So
it would make sense. Yeah.
It would make sense for Sky to pick that up as a replacement, but we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. Manifest, which we mentioned earlier, that is returning for its next season. That's in July. They've announced Law and Order SVU. That is coming for its 22nd season. That's in June on Sky Witness. That's coming. Prodigal Son season 2 also coming in June on Sky One. Just announced today that Heels, the Stephen Amell and Alexander Ludwig wrestling drama, that is coming on Sunday the 15th of August to Stars Play in the UK and Stars in the US and various places around Europe as well. So basically anywhere that there is Stars or Stars Play, that is airing on the same day. They've made that a worldwide premiere. So that is Sunday the 15th of August on Stars Play UK for us. Great they've done that with that show, because I think there's a lot of interest in that, mainly because, you know, it's got Stephen Amell and Alexander Ludwig from Vikings. So, you know, two popular actors in the lead role for that. So I think that is going to make people very happy. It looks quite good fun. There is a trailer up on the website for that. In terms of other new shows, Channel 4 has ordered a thing for Christmas, which seems a little early, but it is an animated thing. It's their big animated thing for this Christmas. It's based on Terry Pratchett's The Abominable Snow Baby, which tells the story of a quintessential English town that is thrown into disarray with a huge snowfall and the dramatic appearance of a 14-foot-tall abominable snow baby. So it's based on a little short story that Terry Pratchett wrote, but that seems like it's going to be quite a cute, fun thing for Christmas this year. So they are working on that. Sweet Tooth, which is an adaptation of a DC Vertigo comic. It's a broad appeal, family-friendly storybook adventure of Gus, who is a boy who is part deer, part boy, leaves his home in a forest to find the outside world ravaged by a cataclysmic event. He joins a ragtag family of humans and animal children, hybrids like himself, in search of answers about the new world and the mystery behind his hybrid origins. They've announced that the date for that is 4th of June. That is landing on Netflix. So about a month to wait for that. that one, but that's called Sweet Tooth. It looks like it could be quite a fun one to watch out for. And Marvel have found somebody to pen their Ironheart series. It is Chinika Hodge, and she will take the role of lead writer. This is the series which stars Dominic Thorne from Judas and the Black Messiah and If Beale Street Could Talk, as a genius young inventor who creates the most advanced suit of armor since Iron Man. That's the setup for that one. So it's sort of, she's kind of a young female Iron Man called Ironheart. So it's based on one of the comic book characters. The writer has worked on Snowpiercer and Apple's Amazing Stories series. So that seems like a fairly solid writer to be behind that.
Kind of looks like with that Marvel's going to do what I've sort of wanted Walking Dead to do for so long, or other shows, which is passing the torch.
Yeah.
Because there is that comic book or whatever, isn't there? That the Young Avengers, which I assume
are,
and like Spider-Man and Kate Bishop. I think they're all kind of a part of that.
I think they are probably heading towards a Young Avengers series at some point. Whether it's either a TV series or whether it ends up being a Young Avengers movie, I don't know. But I think given the amount of younger characters they've put in, I think you are going to get to a point where they're going to put them together and make a Young Avengers, because they do seem to be collecting, you know, like you say, Kate Bishop, Ironheart, Miss Marvel. They seem to be making collection of those younger heroes. So I think they're probably, they haven't announced anything officially yet, but it seems to me that's the next logical step, is to make a Young Avengers either series or movie. So we'll see. But so they've got a writer for that. That's going to be at least 2022 before that one lands. It's going to be next year, or possibly even 2023. But that's the Ironheart series anyway. Sticking with superheroes, but moving over onto DC, they've announced one of the main characters for the Green Lantern series, which they're making from HBO Max. This is a guy called Finn Wittrock, probably best known for American Horror Story in the Ratched. So he's a sort of member of Ryan Murphy's squad. he's going to be playing the role of Guy Gardner, who, if you know Guy Gardner from the comic books, he's actually been around a lot longer than I thought he was, actually. He's been around since 1968, although he was quite dramatically reworked in the 80s, and it's the 80s version of the character which is really the one that stuck around. So he's sort of this jingoistic, flag-waving, red-blooded, patriotic American kind of male. They describe him as being a hulking mass of masculinity as rendered in the comics as an embodiment of the 1980s hyper-patriotism, yet he's somehow still likable. That's the setup for the Guy Gardner character. The series as a whole sounds quite interesting, because it's beginning in 1941 on Earth with the first Green Lantern, the secretly gay FBI agent Alan Scott. In 1984, you've then got Guy Gardner, and then there are going to be other lanterns sort of moving forward. So it sounds like it's going to be going throughout the lantern history of various different lanterns. You might get Carl Ratner in there, you might get John Stewart in there. I suspect you're probably not going to get Hal Jordan. You maybe, but I suspect they probably keep Hal Jordan separate, but we'll have to wait and see what they do with it. But you are going to see some of the other, they've talked about putting some of the newer ones in, like Simon Baz and that sort of thing. So I mean, there are a bunch of different lanterns you can choose from.
Yeah, I think this should be quite interesting coming up. It'll be interesting to see what this is set in. Like, is it DCEU? Is it separate? Is it, you know, rumored for somewhere? We'll see how Warner Brothers tries to explain that one, or if they'll just throw the word multiverse at us and expect it to sort of work. I don't know. With the Green Lantern Corps, I know like some of the characters, I don't know a massive amount sort of about them. Did see the, was it 2011 Ryan Reynolds film, which a lot of people said they kind of didn't like and stuff. So it'll be cool to have like a more modern, because that was 10 years ago, goodness. A more sort of modern, I suppose it'll be like a reboot, won't it, of these characters, and see how it kind of fits into DC at the moment. What universe that lands in, we'll find out, I suppose, but that should be interesting. Interesting to see if they do actually do something with what happened with John Diggle, or if that's just going to be like put onto the Arrowverse. I don't know. So that's an interesting kind of thread, that sort of, where are you going to put that?
They've still not resolved that. We do know that Diggle is coming back into the Arrowverse. So they have said they are going to resolve that sort of whatever the green shiny thing, which everybody assumed is probably a Green Lantern ring, but we don't actually know that for a fact. So it does sound like that's going to be resolved in some way. This show is a Greg Berlanti show, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's connected directly to the Arrowverse. It could be part of the multiverse, as Stargirl is part of the multiverse, as Titans and Doom Patrol are part of the multiverse. So we don't know whether it is going to be disconnected or connected. I suspect it won't be connected to the Arrowverse because it isn't a CW show. We'll have to wait and see. But it is Greg Berlanti that is one of the people that is involved in it. He's sort of writing and producing it. So we'll see where it connects. But I'm quite excited for them to actually do a Green Lantern series. I think that should be quite good fun. I don't know Finn Wittrock at all as an actor. I'd like to say American Horror Story Ratched, he was in. He popped up in American Crime Story as well, Masters of Sex, All My Children, the big ABC soap he was in for a while as well.
I kind of remember him from some of the American Horror Story seasons. I've not seen all of them, but I do remember him in the shows. Pretty good actor from what I remember, so we'll see how he fits into the role.
Bottle of red hair dye, I think, will probably be required for that, because that's one of the signature things about Guy Gardner's character.
Okay.
So, moving on, The Midwich Cuckoos, which is a new Sky original drama from David Farr, who was the person that wrote the adaptation of The Night Manager. Midwich Cuckoos, of course, is a classic science fiction novel by John Wyndham. They've announced the cast for that, which is going to be led by Keely Hawes and Max Beasley, who are two great, great actors. If you don't know the story, Midwich is a small English commuter town. It's liberal, aspirational, has populated by nuclear families and affluent high streets, a place where nothing much happens, and for a very good reason. This is until the twilight hours of a summer's day, when a sleepy corner of Midwich is plunged into a panic. People pass out on their feet without warning, without reason. Anyone who tries to enter meets the same fate. Nobody can understand why. When the mysterious blackout is lifted, life for those affected returns apparently to normal, except for the fact that every woman of childbearing age inside the zone has suddenly become inexplicably pregnant. As news spreads and tensions simmer, it is up to gifted psychotherapist Dr. Susan Zelby, who's played by Keely Hawes, to help support those affected through this emotional wilderness. Suzanne's only daughter, who's called Cassie, played by Siobhan Carlson, I think her name is, who was in Cleek. She has fallen pregnant and harbours a deep concern about who or what is behind the phenomenon. Local officer DCI Paul Kirby, played by Max Beasley, is tasked with maintaining order, but unbeknownst to them all, the terrifying forces building in the comfortable streets of Midwich. These children, potential parasites, flourished under the very love and care that their families give them. Who are these children and what do they want? It's a story which has been turned into films a number of times, so that may sound somewhat familiar, but they are producing this as a series. Keely Hawes, of course, you'll know from a million different things, like The Durrells, Finding Alice, Summer of Rockets, Year of the Rabbit, It's a Sin, most recently, which was a spectacular series. She was in that. Max Beasley, of course, was popped up in The Outsider quite recently, but Jamestown, he's been in Empire, Flack, Homeland, Strike Back, a whole bunch of other things as well. A good solid casting, I think, for that. That looks like it could be quite good. It's going to be an interesting adaptation. I think it's a sort of one-off series. It's not like meant to be an ongoing thing. I mean, although it potentially could be, but it's not meant to be an ongoing thing, I don't think.
Yeah, a lot of good talent attached to it, so we'll see how that goes.
Certainly two great actors to bring into the lead. So we don't know when that's going to land, but obviously they're kind of starting to cast that now. So I'm not sure whether it's shooting yet, but they've got the cast for it, so it will probably be next year sometime, that one. And lastly, there is a potential return of the Flintstones. There's an idea which has been put into production by Fox. It is only a potential series at the moment, but they have actually released a press release, which is not usually what they do when they're announcing potential series. So I think they're quite keen on this. It won't be called Flintstones, it'll be called Bedrock. It's kind of meant as a continuation. Catches up with the Flintstone family 2 decades after the original. Fred is on the brink of retirement, and a 20-something Pebbles embarks on her own career. As the Stone Age gives way to the shiny and enlightened new Bronze Age, the residents of Bedrock will find this evolution harder than a swim from Bam Bam's club. That's the setup for it. The pilot script is being written by Lindsay Kearns, who is one of the writers on Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous, DC's Superhero Girls, Trolls, The Beat Goes On. Elizabeth Banks, who is one of the driving forces behind it, is playing the now grown Pebbles and voicing her on the series as well. There was a very mixed reaction to this when I posted it, but I sort of see this working, because I think the Flintstones as a series would struggle to come back exactly as it was now, because it was always a parody of those sort of sitcoms, of those kind of family sitcoms. And I think it sort of makes sense making it of a, a kind of a parody of the more modern sitcoms as sort of bedrock. So, it's described as an adult animated series that they're doing. And that sort of works for me. You know, you think of the things that, I mean, the Flintstones kind of inspired shows like Family Guy. You know, I mean, they make references it to things like Family Guy. It certainly has DNA in The Simpsons and all those other kind of family sort of animated shows, which have a slightly more adult bent. So I can see this working. I think this is probably quite an interesting area for it to go into. And to say, we don't know whether it's actually going to arrive, but they seem quite keen on it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I think it sounds like a relatively interesting idea. I mean, when was the last time we had any kind of entry in the Flintstones franchise? I can't remember the last time it was. Yeah, for somebody to kind of look and think like, hey, nobody's done anything with this for quite some time. Instead of just sort of rebooting it or like reviving it, let's put a different idea in there, I suppose, which almost sounds a little bit like a sort of sequel series, because you said one of the characters is going to be a bit older. So that sounds like a decent idea.
This really quite appeals to me. I think this is a really interesting idea. And sort of moving from the Stone Age into the Bronze Age, I think is kind of an interesting idea. Using Fred as sort of the older, near retirement character, aging up Pebbles to be a 20-something. Yeah, I like the idea of the setup for it. I think Lindsay Kearns, you know, I mean, I know how much you like Camp Cretaceous, and she's worked on other good things. I know DC Superhero Girls is quite popular, and Trolls, obviously, incredibly popular. So I think she's a pretty solid writer to be involved with it. Yeah, I'm intrigued to see whether they actually move forward with this, but I actually quite like this idea. I know people are going, sacrilege, you can't do that to the Flintstones, but it's a 60-year-old TV show. I don't think it would work bringing it back exactly as it was, and I think this is an interesting direction to take it in. So we'll see. So that's all the news we've got for this week. Now we've got some highlights for next week on TV. Highlights for next week: Bloods, which is a new comedy series starring Samson Keo and Jane Horrocks, that is coming to Sky One on the 5th of May at 10 p.m. It's about a couple of paramedic partners in South London ambulance service.
I think I saw a trailer for this.
Yes,
ambulance comedy.
Yeah,
it looked fairly interesting. I was going to go and see if it was out, but obviously now I know it's on the 5th. So
yes, so 5th of May for that. That's one to look out for. There is another one of Fox's big box of cancelled shows, Cooper Barrett's Guide to Surviving Life, follows a character called Cooper Barrett and his friends and family whilst exploring what we all go through on our way to figure out what life is all about. That's coming on the 5th of May at 10 p.m. as well on Fox, but that was a cancelled one season show, so don't get too attached to it. Coroner, season one of that, which I know is aired on Sky Witness already, but that's, if you've not got Sky Witness, coming to More 4, that's on the 6th of May at 9 p.m. for that. There is a new superhero drama based on the Mark Miller comic books. This is a live action thing. It's called Jupiter's Legacy. That is coming on the 7th of May to Netflix. That's quite a good comic book, and I'm kind of interested to see what the adaptation is like for that. But that's called Jupiter's Legacy, 7th of May on Netflix for that. Fargo season 4 finally lands in the UK months after the US, but that's coming to Channel 4 on the 9th of May at 10 p.m. That's the full season of Fargo, which stars Chris Rock in the leading role for that. So that will be 9th of May on Channel 4 at 10 p.m. Snowfall season 4, that returns to BBC 2. That's on the 9th of May at 11 p.m. Men in Kilts finally lands in the UK. That's on the 9th of May on Starzplay. That's the sort of travel log series starring Outlanders, Sam Heughan and Graham McTavish as they tour around Scotland, which I know there's a lot of people waiting for that. That is Men in Kilts. That's Starzplay on the 9th of May. And Inside Number 9 returns on the 10th of May at 9:30 to BBC 2. This is Steve Pemberton and Reese Shearsmith's dark, twisted sort of anthology comedy, all to do with things marked with Number 9. So that's back for its 6th season, and that's on BBC 2, 10th of May at 9:30, that returns. And that's everything for this week. So if you want to find Matt, where can they find you?
Find me on Instagram and talk.org, TV, video games, films, and May United podcasts. The game didn't happen yesterday
because yes, there
was a big protest, and the game was going to be played like later, but just got completely postponed. So we didn't play against Liverpool. I don't know when that game's supposed to be rescheduled for. It won't be today. So
no.
We'll see. But yeah, doing other things as well, talking about some other TV shows and things. As we said before, Invincible review we did as well. I did also break out, for those that haven't seen Invincible season one, you know, the little conversation we had about Omni-Man, Superman and Homelander,
right,
had a fight. I released that as a separate piece, which doesn't really have any like spoilers in it. So if you're curious about that, you can listen to that as well. But you can also find me on Twitch, eTalkUK, if you want to watch me play different video games. And then if you miss those, I put them up later, or on YouTube, which is Entertainment Talk Plays on there. So check all that out.
Yeah, so go and check that out. Go and check Matt out over on Entertainment Talk. Bex, of course, you can find at twitch.tv/TristaBytes. That's B-Y-T-E-S. She was supposed to be on the show this week, but she's managed to damage her voice. So she's trying to sort of save it because she's got to stream every day. So she will be back on in a few weeks, but she's just trying to limit the amount of time she spends talking. So, you know, she'll be back on in a few weeks. It is her birthday later this week, so go and check her out. It's always fun going to watch her streams. That's twitch.tv TristaBytes, B-Y-T-E-S. Go and check her out over there. Daryl, of course, you can go and find at HollywoodNorthNews.net as well. That's for all the TV shows that are made and shot in Canada, which is like loads of superhero and sci-fi shows. So go and check out his coverage. It's HollywoodNorthNews.net for Daryl. Gray, you can find on Twitter at Gray the Geek. That's Gray with an A. You can go and find him over on there if you want to follow Gray as well. For us, you can go to the website at geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at geektownuk. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real, frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club, with me, Maisie Williams. And each week, we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.